Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, the national edition. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we're going to welcome in Jason Bukala, former NHL scout. Does a terrific job writing for Sportsnet.ca. You all right?
Need a sip of water. 9 month long cold.
Are you battling a little bit?
I don't know. I'm fine. I feel fine. I just, cough every 10 seconds. Is that okay?
No, it's fine. It wasn't a year ago.
Yeah.
So true. That would have shut this whole place down.
You got ejected through the roof of the building a year ago.
I can tell you what. Yeah. We were nervous 12 months ago when we heard stuff like that.
It's like, for example, the Leafs, right?
Yeah.
Now everybody's got the flu, and it's like
six guys are sick with something.
That legitimately
would have
shut down the whole league a year and a half ago. So time has moved quickly.
Just close my eyes and ears and carry on.
Just prior to wrapping up our first hour, I wanted to get this in. We ran out of time with Aaron
Portsline,
who covers the Columbus Blue Jackets. But I left saying, I know how to fix the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I was. I'm sure the ownership in Columbus is fascinated to listen to.
I did also put this in my article I wrote for the Toronto Star Weekly. So please go and find it on my Real Kipper Twitter X account. But it is Rick Nash.
Rick Nash is going to fix it.
Rick Nash.
Fix
you
Nash.
Put Rick Nash in a position of being the face up front. And I think that's your first building block to get this organization going. And it worked for Joe Sakic. It worked for Stevie Yzerman in Tampa.
What's his role
Brendan
there
Shanahan's
now?
Brendan Shanahan's been on a run for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But that's the guy that needs to reconnect with that community.
I don't disagree, and typically I don't love the idea that like a guy who is good at hockey is going to automatically be good at running a business, making decisions. However, I think it's important for that community to be connected with the small amount of greatness they have. He is an established hockey guy, a thoughtful person. I do see a connection.
It's not like he's home doing nothing, throwing his name in the hat.
No,
he's
working for the club.
He's been groomed for the last year and a half, 2 years.
The director of player development.
He's scouting. Right.
Yeah.
He's doing stuff.
Do you think he would be capable this early of, say, managing things generally?
I think what needs to happen is you need to surround him with someone that can help groom him in that position.
Like a cap guy?
I'd want more of a hockey executive that wouldn't just know that their job is to get this guy on board. So what does that mean?
John Davidson sticks around.
John could do it.
Yep.
Our good buddy on our Friday Off the Rails show, Doug McClain, comes to mind as someone that's had a history there that knows that executive position inside and out. Go hire him for 12
months.
But
we've already lost Talkett. We lost Talkett.
If we lose Mac, we're in trouble.
Come on, don't recommend that. Too good on our show.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. But it's sad for me watching.
I don't listen to you when I'm on.
Yeah. It's sad watching the Columbus Blue Jackets right now.
Yeah.
When has it not been?
I know. And that's the tough part is like you want that community to have something to connect. This Fantilli is like, can I have someone to work with here? By the way, the Voronkov kid, interesting fella, 6'5", 240, has more goals than Johnny Gaudreau and as many points playing center for them. So there's a bright spot, but yeah, they could probably use about 10 more bright spots.
And we said youngest team.
Yeah, but like, you know what?
Is that a great excuse?
No, and actually Jason Bukala, I know, is listening right now, but I'm just going to finish my thought on this. All these young guys, everyone has prospects. And are they going to become difference makers for your franchise or just NHLers? Like, I don't know that Columbus being young is a saving grace for them. Anyway.
Okay, as you mentioned, Jason Bukala now joins us, former NHL scout and writer for Sportsnet.ca. Hey, Jason, just to kind of pick up on this conversation on Columbus, what would it feel like to be a scout there for the last 5, 7, 10 years? Like, even though your name isn't out there on a daily basis like a Yarmo or JD, how would you feel right now looking at this organization as someone that somehow is linked to what you see today?
Yeah, it's tough, Kipper. I'm not going to deny it. I mean, we kind of went through it a little bit in Florida, to be honest with you. The only difference, of course, was that we were kind of going through different owners and different strategies overall. I kind of feel like in Columbus, it's been a stable franchise in the back room, if you will, for the most part, right? Like the ownership's been solid. They have outstanding facilities in Columbus. Like people who haven't gone to a game in Columbus, the facilities are outstanding. The practice rink is right in the main building. The downtown's a lot of fun. My thing with that group right there and that organization is when you walk into the room, like, what are we? You know what I mean? Like, what are we as a group? And I think that that trickles on down right through the entire organization, the scouting staff included. You know, like, how do we identify as a Columbus Blue Jacket? What are we chasing? What are we trying to establish? And, you know, their leadership group, you know, that they have there now, again, you know, what are we? And it just feels like a puzzle that got dropped out of the sky and it's sitting there. And, it, you know, when you put it all together, it might look like it's a really nice piece. But at the same time, it's like, how do we get this all put together? Who's going to be smart enough to do it?
Yeah, that was we just talked with Aaron Portsline. He's talking about their third line right now is Patrick Laine, Cole Sillinger, and Kent Johnson. He said the three guys, they just don't know what else to do with. They're like, I don't know, you guys play together. So kind of a tough spot for those guys to figure it out. But Fantilli's been really good there. He was saying that, like, were it not for Bedard, this guy would probably be getting a lot more love.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he has been good. He's played to his identity, guys. Like, you know, he's a super high-end competitive kid, plays the game fast. He's a new breed kind of guy. He can play the middle, play the wing, win key face-offs. He's got some bump to his game. So, you know, all the things you like to see in a young player. Again, you know, entry-level deal, year number one goes down the tubes. I've been there, done that with guys. You know, like when we had Barkey coming through, it was like, how long do we want to be on the clock with this guy before we start to get good? Because we need to get some traction. And I just, Columbus is tough to watch. I think I heard Kipper say it there, when I was just waiting on hold with you guys there. They're tough to figure out. They're tough to watch. And it just seems like, I don't know. I don't know if there's not enough pressure, if that's the word I'm looking for. I don't know what I'm looking for. I guess the way I'm answering it for you right now is exactly what the Columbus Blue Jackets are. I have no idea.
Yeah, fair enough.
Jason, the World Junior Championships just around the corner here. And in the first hour, we were talking about Cowan and Minton for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And yeah, that's a nice feather in the cap of your scouting staff, I would imagine, when you can have couple of players in that spotlight for 2.5-3 weeks, a tremendous national spotlight here. I'm not here to debate who's deserving or not deserving, but is there like some maneuvering that happens, you know, for teams? Like would a team keep a player longer than maybe they would necessarily keep them because they think it'll help them make this team? Does that happen?
I think what you're kind of in a roundabout asking me is there any politicking or strategy? and let me just tell you, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I was at the camp yesterday, and a lot of my ex-colleagues were in the building. All the teams were there represented. And I can tell you, it's like a convention sometimes that it's a little bit of theater behind the scenes, Kipper. There's absolutely no doubt. And it's a fun time of year. I do want to put it in perspective a little bit for everybody. And, you know, like we drafted Denisenko in the first round at the Dallas draft and Alexei Hepaniemi out of Finland, who was playing in the Western Hockey League. They were 1-2 in the World Junior scoring in Vancouver back in the day. And they haven't had a taste of the NHL level yet. So it's a feather in your cap. You feel good about it, but at the same time, don't get too high, don't get too low, because everybody's going to be thrust into different types of categories, different roles. Like Nate Danielson might end up playing right wing for Team Canada. He's a centerman all day in Detroit as a prospect. So it's an interesting process.
What is the overall assessment? What are your thoughts on this Team Canada roster as someone who doesn't watch any junior hockey? What am I in for? What should I expect from this Team Canada?
They're in tough, guys. They're in tough. This is a group that's going to play exceptionally hard. Listen, they're the way that this team is being assembled is they're going to be an uber competitive group. They're going to have a relentless type of mentality, a pack mentality, if you will. They're not as skilled as some of the other teams in this tournament. Like the U.S. is an absolute wagon. I don't know how the U.S. loses this tournament other than they get in their own way. That's how good they are. I mean, I was going over their roster today, and, you know, Gavin Brindley, Cutter Goche, Isaac Howard, Ryan Leonard, Will Smith, Jimmy Snuggerud. I mean, you just keep going and going. They can literally roll 13 forwards at you that are first-line forwards. That's how good that group is. Yeah. To go along with really high-end goaltending and Augustine and Fowler. So, and the Lane Hudson kid, the Montreal pick on the back end at Team USA. I'm going off on Team USA here a little bit, but I'm trying to give you
good
a little
to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little perspective for you. So with our team here, Macklin Celebrini stood out by a wide margin at the camp. He can do it all, fellas. He's like he's got some McKinnon in him and some Fantilli in him. So guys that play fast, can transport the puck, rip it from the flank, but really in the trenches too, they've got that pushback, that growl. Love those guys, right? You know, guys that score, but got the growl to them as well. So Celebrini's going to be carrying the load offensively, I think, which is going to be, you know, we'll see how that goes because he's obviously draft eligible. He's a little bit on the younger side. Our goaltending for Team Canada is going to be tested. We don't have any guys like Scott Ratzlaff played at the Ivan Holenka Gretzky tournament 2 years ago in Red Deer. But other than that, those four games, our goaltenders don't have any international experience, so they're going to be tested. But having said that, the Russo kid out of Halifax, I think it's his job right now to lose coming out of this camp. Boy, was he ever good! He's 5'11" and a bit, so you know he's only 5'11" and 1.72 or whatever.
Yeah.
But boy, between the posts, fronts the play really well, athletic and quick. So. Dustin Wolf's finding a way in Calgary. This could be another kind of layer of that type of goaltender.
We're talking to Jason Bukala, writer for the Sportsnet.ca and also a former NHL scout. So whether or not you're drafted or draft eligible in this tournament, how much can your performance over this stretch sink or swim momentum for somebody?
Yeah, you know, this is a really good point. I think people should be aware of this. And it stands true as well at the end of the year, guys, at the Men's World Championships, okay? So when you're viewing world events like this, you have to put in perspective the role that the player has and the type of impact he has in that role. Like, what's the buy-in? And I'll give you an example even from last year. Like, Fantilli was playing in the four hole. He kind of, he swam up and down the lineup a little bit, but he was mostly in the four, sometimes in the three, mostly a checker, chipped in a little bit on the power play, block shots and the penalty kill. That tells you something, doesn't it? Now, of course, he was draft eligible. It was a little bit different for him, but, if I brought up Nate Danielson. So let's just say Nate Danielson isn't thrust into a scoring role here for Team Canada. He's asked to win key faceoffs and, check one of the high-end lines for Team USA, for example. Little things like that, the buy-in is more important for me. Where's the compete? Where's the buy-in? Where's your three-zone detail? Don't ever have any sulk to you because nobody deserves to be here. Where, you're proud to pull the jersey on. It's a big moment. Do what you're asked, and then that's going to resonate with me. Of course, as you know, there's only one puck, and skill guys, they all want to have the puck. So let's just see how it goes, but play to the identity that the coaching staff wants you to play to. And that will resonate with the team that's drafted you. And if you're a free agent, because there's a couple of those guys floating around, or still draft eligible, pardon me, haven't been drafted. If you're one of those guys, well, you couldn't ask for a better opportunity.
Books, you're at a point in your career now. You're the founder of the Pro Hockey Group. You continue to do work on, this sort of industry. How has it changed covering the World Junior from when you started out? It feels like it is a vastly different tournament than it used to be.
It really is. I mean, over the years, I really found right now that the current state of the World Juniors, last year's World Juniors, for example, in Halifax, coming out of the pandemic and all the unusual circumstances we had in the world, I really felt like we hit a home run. And two reasons why. A, obviously Canada won. It was nice on home soil. But B, the venue, guys, like places like Halifax, even here in London, Kitchener, let's throw out the Kitcheners of the world, or even go out west to Saskatoon, those types of places. Those are the buildings, the cities that deserve these types of events. I really prefer it. I feel like it's got a community feel to it. When we're hosting in Canada in the Edmontons, the Torontos, the Montreals, like Montreal wasn't even selling out games, fellas, when they were hosting there, okay? I really like the community of it. It gets the kids, everybody involved. It's fun for everybody. Like even the European teams are walking around downtown Halifax last year, taking it all in. People are asking them for autographs. Things that don't happen in the big cities. That's what it's all about.
One more for me anyways, just in terms of, you know, and you mentioned goaltending moments ago here, but dare I say, like the death of the star goalie the National Hockey League to even the way that we used to look at Luongo and Marc-Andre Fleury when they were in their prime at the World Junior tournaments. Like, what is going on? Did we coach them all the same way that we just pick them like out of a hat?
We've really lost momentum between the pipe skipper, haven't we? Like, we really haven't had that star goaltender that, like, I remember when I was growing up and I turn on the TV and I'd see, like, Mario Gosselin playing, you know, and these guys coming through playing the World Juniors. And then you fast forward to the names you said, like Luongo and Winnipeg, you know. And I don't know, two things. A, the position is really expensive to play. And I think our model in Canada has to come up with a solution that's more affordable for families of kids that want to play the position, which is net, because it's $1,500 to $2,000 to outfit a 12-year-old to play the game between the posts with proper protection. And I do mean proper protection. I've seen the organizations throw a kid between the posts with fluff on. He gets hit hard. He doesn't ever want to play the position again. So, you know, it's difficult. It's expensive. And I don't feel like our kids that are coming through right now, they don't have that poster, you know, that guy up on their wall that, you know, the Kenny Dryden back in the days and, you know, the guys like that where we were like, I want to be that guy. We're kind of missing that right now. There's a wave of U.S. guys coming through. The Swedes have got high-end goaltenders. Obviously, the Finns have been on a good run, even the Russians, right? So I don't know. We've lost momentum there. Hopefully we get it back and time will tell.
We'll keep you on the young guys in the league a little bit. Look at the NHL. Just want to talk about the sort of Calder race so far. Connor Bedard pulling ahead. I think you'll agree that he's kind of the go-ahead guy. Is there anyone who has surprised you outside of Bedard as a rookie in the NHL and gone by? You know, maybe this guy is going to be better than I thought.
Well, Mitiakov in Anaheim definitely sparked for me. Like he, you know, we all know how difficult it is to play big minutes in the National Hockey League on the back end. Like, I remember when Ekblad came in with us in Florida, you know, as good as he was for where we were as a team, it's a heavy lift, guys. We all know that. So I really think that Pavel Mitiakov in Anaheim's got significant upside. And, you know, as you guys know, I started the year coolly for Calder. I didn't even make it to Christmas time, for crying out loud. I mean, Bedard all the way. That goal he scored the other night in Edmonton, that's just, Tink. You can't teach that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Hey, speaking of, it's great that Connor Bedard can come in and show the flashes of greatness that we're all going to look forward to throughout his career. But some of these top picks now all of a sudden are taking a lot longer to cook a little bit at the NHL level. And I'm watching Byfield, and I got to be honest with you, Books, I'm watching him early, and I'm like, I don't know what this guy's going to be, a third-line centerman, a checker, a guy that ends up with seven different teams in his career.
And now you're like, oh, he's Ryan Getzlaff.
And now it's like, man, he's big, he's strong, he goes to the net, he's got some good hands, but it took time. Slavkovsky, same thing. It's taken time. The numbers suck for him. But outside of that, you can sometimes see he's a big, strong guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we got to change the way we look at these type of players that are supposed to be franchise players right out of the gate.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm glad you brought up Byfield because it's a big power body, isn't it? And it just, he's a case study. So, you know, people who are sitting on the fence on Slavkovsky should use him as a case study. Like, take a long, hard look at him. He plays the same sort of style. And here's the other thing I will say. The LA Kings got bad for a little bit, but I didn't ever feel like they lost really what they were all about as a group, like inside the room. So I feel like he was insulated through his process pretty good. You know, Kopitar's, you know, still there. Quick was, you know, on the outs towards the end and things like that. But I think to your point, a power forward is undoubtedly going to take longer to nurture, especially at the NHL level, compared to a darter who's on the outside, who's a skill guy, a motion guy. This game that we play today at the NHL level is all about motion more than it ever has been. It's a track meet. There's not a lot of heavy lifting in the trenches. So those heavier set guys, it just seems like they're taking a little bit longer to get to the finish line or closer to the finish line. And I'm okay with that. Boy, that Byfield, I mean, LA is a great looking team, and he's part of the reason why. Like, he's heavy, hard. And when he gets the edge off the rush with his length of his stick and stuff, no chance you're stopping that train going to the crease.
It's so true. You talk about like context, and you're looking at World Juniors players, the role they play, whatever. Like, he's playing with Kopitar and Kempe on a very good defensive team. Like, that's a good spot for anyone, right?
And it took Kempe some time too, guys.
Yeah.
Like, Kempe was a highly regarded prospect. It's taken him some time as well.
Yeah. So last one for me, and I only asked this because tonight Kipper and I are doing the Columbus game. This Voronkov, who I'd never heard of till 30 minutes ago, 6'5", 240, has 15 points. What do you know about this guy?
Listen, I tracked this guy in Russia playing at Akbars, and I always loved his enthusiasm. He played the middle and the wing of the KHL. The KHL, traditionally, you don't score a ton of goals or ton of points, that is, even right, as a young person. He's got great puck touch, and he finds it in tight areas. He'll go to the net. He'll set screens. I was a little bit worried, right, because a couple weeks ago I was reading this story. He was homesick and blah, blah, blah. He's been a nice story. I'm not surprised. Going right back to my Traverse City kind of players to watch in the rookie games, he was the guy I wanted to watch very closely. He is a giant. Like, if anybody gets a chance to go down by ice level to watch him in warm-up, he's a huge human being who can skate, and he's got great puck touch, and he finds pucks in the hard areas. It's a good story in Columbus. Maybe that's another piece for them to build on, or maybe not. We'll find out.
Yeah.
I know we gave Byfield in LA a lot of love moments ago, but Gabriel Vilardi just stuffed it down their throats there last night with four points for the Winnipeg.
He's playing all right.
Yes, Sammy, we don't spend enough time in your lineup on Winnipeg Jets, okay?
They deserve some love for last night.
They do,
sure.
They do. It was a big win for Winnipeg over LA. Hey, Books, always great stuff, man. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, fellas. Look forward to talking to you from Gothenburg. That'll be cool.
Ooh. When are you leaving?
27th. I'll be there from the 28th right till the end of the tournament, so... Don't forget the time change, though. If we're taping off air, don't be calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning over there, okay?
Listen, 24/7. You're available
grind
to the real Kipper and Bourne show. That was the deal.
Yeah. Massive salary.
Okay. I'll check the fine print. Take care, boys.
All right.
Thanks, Books.
That's some great insight.
I like that Voronkov looks like he's going to eat your lunch. Let me see.
Oh, yeah.
Big and mean. Yeah. Big meanie.
See, I like it when he can take me into a boardroom full of scouts.
Yeah.
Because I can envision ownership or a general manager. I just can't get into what it would feel like to be a scout watching your... I would imagine that there'd be some scouts at the World Juniors watching their prospect who they already drafted and feel like you just gave birth.
Yeah. You're like, all right, this is my guy. My future is tied to that person's success.
Yes.
It's like the highest stakes gambling possible. I have wagered my future on your success. Please go.
But please.
For the undrafted guys, I'm sure, like, I don't know if you compare it to March Madness in the States, where it's like, you know, they play all these games. And if, for me as a scout, and I don't know how would you, like, if you're weighing what it's like against Kamloops on a Thursday night or Sweden in the semifinals, like how you perform, how can you not be a little bit more enticed by him scoring two goals in a game against Sweden, right? Like that.
Well, the other thing is, like, you can't cross check. I know they do have cross checkers, but like, what is a guy's performance worth in the Q versus the O versus the dub versus the Finnish league versus whatever? You finally get them the same pot and a guy stands out. You're like,
well,
it's easy to draw the connection.
Well, I always give it to Doug McLean, and think we're going to have him tomorrow on our off the rails Friday.
Sure,
but
Dev?
No, the Kopitar's draft year. I think Kopitar went.
Yeah.
And who he went with?
Gilbert Brule.
Gilbert Brule.
In fairness, and I don't.
I go, how much money did that personally cost you?
I played against Brule when he was like 15 or 16, and he scored two or three in a game and got in a fight with one of our big D-men and punched the guy's visor off his helmet. And I was like, oh, this guy. And,
like,
but he doesn't always.
He also,
you take Kopitar to Columbus that year, Doug, you're Poile for 30 years. I tell him, you're David Poile for 30 years. That's
million, 30
to $40
million
extra.
Well, it's not like the wage that
I'm going to remind him that tomorrow too.
Yeah, you're going to remind him of that.
Oh yeah.
Well, Gilbert Brule has the distinction of getting tossed out of an Olympic game for one of the greasiest hits of all time. When there was like, I forget what year it was, but when the NHLers didn't go, he played for the Team Canada and he threw like a junior B hit at center ice, like jumped into a guy and got kicked out of the game. So there you go, Gilbert Brule. Continue.
Not many IIHF. Open ice hits.
No, it was a bad one.
Not a common.
It was
play.
A bad one. So you mentioned the Jets there, like, yeah, it's they deserve the serious love.
Did you see Vilardi's backhand goal last night?
I did. It was filthy.
It was really, really a good backhand.
This Dubois thing's, you know, gonna work out okay. Iafallo's been really good. I think Vilardi's a good player. Like Dubois not exactly lighting it on fire this year, is he?
No.
He's a presence. He's a presence, and LA's a good team.
Everyone talks about him as like this, what he could become. Well, he's not 22.
Yeah, at some point.
At some point, you are what you are, which is like a less than point per game player who's large. I don't know. The Jets.
Iafallo and Kupari.
Yeah, Rasmus Kupari.
And a second round pick. That's.
That's pretty good work.
No, it's really good work.
Yeah.
And it looks better every game for Kevin Cheveldayoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got 12 points in 26 games so far this year for the Kings. He's a minus four.
His issues was health, though, too, right? Vilardi in LA. Did he not have a bad back?
Dubois, too, right? Isn't Dubois?
Yeah.
A little bit.
So will they be able to, because we didn't mention this when it happened a couple days ago, but Kyle Connor's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, that's monster for them.
That's a long time to be without him. And can they cover up that goal scoring? Like, he's an elite guy. And for them to be able to survive.
He has 17 goals. Second best on the team is Scheifele with 11. And then after that, no one's got 10. You know, like they're not, they don't have a ton of scores.
They didn't miss him last night. And
no.
That's a great
Ehlers,
win.
A big win. Ehlers, I think, had 4 points as well. So. I mean, there's going to be some nights it's going to be dry, and that's the first thing you're going to think of.
The Jets are 2 points out of first in the Central behind Colorado, and they have a game in hand on them. You know, they're going along pretty nice here. Hellebuck hasn't even been his best yet. There's reason to believe the Jets are a competitive team in a ho-hum division.
Best team in Canada?
No.
I gave them coaching of the year. So far.
Wait, coach of the year? Yeah.
It's coaching of the year.
Coaching.
That's pretty good.
That's right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, the
Oilers are just
Canucks.
The best. Oilers are just the best team in Canada.
The Leafs are statistically now the best record, but I would probably give it to, it might be Edmonton.
Yeah, it might be Edmonton. You guys want to do some game time?
Yep.
All right. My thing here, I should probably know it off my heart now, but I don't. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Got a couple for tonight. Haven't done this in a while, but a goal scorer. Mm. Tonight, Columbus versus Toronto.
Let me guess, who's a former Leaf that's there?
No.
You always do that, by the way.
Yeah. You're shelling out 100 tickets. You're paying the price.
Oh, Fantilli.
Fantilli's going to shoot one in the net tonight.
There's just no... I cannot see anybody paying for 100 of those tickets.
He's definitely not paying for 100.
I mean, what's he make? Like, he's on a rookie contract. That might be the whole deal.
950? Well, there'd be a million bonus.
Or something. It's a big chunk of his paycheck. So, I like a same-game parlay of Adam Fantilli to score and the Leafs to win, which pays plus 450.
That's a really good bet.
Thank you.
The one thing I would change maybe is just, you never know if the shots are going to go in, but you know he's going to have a motor. Like, could you do
shots over two and a half, like that? Yeah.
Does Columbus score in,
even strength
in the first period, minute and a half, or a period and a half?
Also, he said that, Porty said that Columbus has blown a lot of leads this year. The Leafs have come from behind.
Oh, it's a perfect storm.
A dozen times, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Leafs
start.
They have the most come from behind victories.
The Leafs do.
Yeah,
this year. I think that's our prediction. Nine. Sleepy start. Leafs pull it out late.
Yeah, with they'll pull a goalie for 3 minutes and get two to
Matthews
tie it.
Six in.
The Blues tonight are an underdog. They're at home. I think this is the first coach, the first game since firing the coach. Give me a little bit of a dead cat bounce tonight for the Blues as a underdog against the Sens coming in.
So we spoke yesterday about Berube getting fired, and we had Doug Armstrong clips.
Yeah, we did,
but we didn't get to them. But you said they were really juicy. I have not heard them yet.
So we'll play a couple of them after the break. I'll get Derek to dig them up for me. But I cut three of them, and all of them. Yeah, we'll play them after. But like. All of them would be the greatest Kippers Clipper of all time if Sheldon Keefe said that.
Direct message sending to his players.
And the last...
I just want to say that I actually am on the other side of your Blues bet.
Really?
I can't have you talk about my Ottawa Senators
Rot.
The Sens are good.
No, they're not. No,
I like the Sens.
Listen, I feel so much more comfortable saying that the Sens are bad than I should have said about the Oilers.
Listen, the Sens are in 16th in the East. But
how many teams are in the league East?
But they've played seven less games than the next closest team.
Okay.
The Sens are pretty good. The Sens are going to win.
Okay, I don't agree. Yeah. I think this is a Blues night. Little BB
we
King.
Do not agree.
And Vancouver tonight, and we'll talk about that in our next segment. Roberto Luongo night tonight. So they're putting him into the Ring of Honor. And they are playing the Florida Panthers. So fitting. So both of his teams, the Vancouver Canucks are an underdog tonight, plus 105. They'll be all inspired by Big Bobby Lou up there. They're going to win. They're going to beat
Strombone
the Cats.
Strombone going to live tweet the event.
So there you go.
He's another guy that could, I think, is getting groomed.
To be in the...
Sure.
Yeah, maybe.
I mentioned Rick Nash earlier.
But isn't he involved with the Panthers?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, like to work... Okay, you're not with the
Nets. I'm not firing Bill Zito.
Yeah, I mean, they're like one of the best teams in the league.
I think he's another type
Whatever
of face.
Happened to Chris Pronger?
Yeah. He's doing commercials now. He's sitting on the dock at Muskoka with Leon Draisaitl and Mitch Marner.
He does feel like a guy that if he decides to get involved, he will.
Getting a shot in the nuts.
He's got too much money. He's got too much money.
He's got way too much money.
I got a lot of respect for that. Like, do you want to be a GM?
No.
You have so much money.
He
got paid.
He had like $150 million in his career. Like, he made so much money.
He doesn't need that.
No. All right. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, after the break, we'll pick up on a few news and notes around the National Hockey League. You just mentioned Doug Armstrong. We'll play a couple of his clips from yesterday. And also this story out of Minnesota where the Wild have fired parted ways.
Yeah.
Mutually with assistant general manager Chris O'Hearn, which has led to an investigation.
Yeah. Or the investigation led to the mutual resigning.
One of the two. Also, Pittsburgh. I want to talk to you about Pittsburgh because I did not.
That team stinks.
How about that?
We did not get a good vibe out of them last night, with the exception of Sid.
I got lots to say. Malkin's washed. Well, let's go.
Oh, yeah,
bring it.
More of that after the break on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. We are back. We're going to start with Doug Armstrong because there's a lot of people upset in St. Louis about him being a bit of a, I don't know, scapegoat maybe. And would have liked to seen maybe a few more changes outside of Berube. But St. Louis, Nashville, I mean, these are teams. Minnesota, as we know, Bill Guerin goes into this season $14 million behind the eight ball because of the bought-out contracts of Ryan Suter and Zach Parise.
Mm-hmm.
And there's expectations still that this team should win now.
Yeah.
Do they all think that they can win now?
When everyone's bad, no one's good.
Yeah, when everybody's the same team, you think you should win.
Well, why can't we pull ahead with a couple of quick fixes? Yeah. I think Doug Armstrong is the game's foremost straight shooter GM. Maybe Brian McClellan. Like, there's a few guys, but he's the guy to me. I believe everything this guy says.
Basically. Yeah, okay. Like I trust him as a hockey guy.
So which one do you want to play first?
There's three. Let's start with no one should feel safe. How's that for a start? Number one,
Blues
Doug
players
Armstrong.
Listen up.
We have it.
Oh. Roster changes are hard to make. That's not, I've talked to teams. I've seen what's out there. I've seen what you're able to do. You know, nobody should feel safe in our group right now. I mean, a player wise, management wise, obviously the coach has been changed. If we could move, you know, chairs on the Titanic, I guess we would. It's harder to do. So this wasn't a decision that was made. The players are doing their best. We just got a bad coach. That's by far not how I feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Good start.
What?
I get what he's trying to say, but, like, there's probably a few guys that feel safe, right?
Yeah. Well, I think his point is stop it.
Thomas and Carew just signed 8-year deals.
Yeah, they should probably feel. They probably feel pretty safe.
I think they're okay.
Well, carry on to the Clips and see how you feel after the three pack.
So this is the third. This is a little bit longer, but it's really amazing clip. Yeah. So it's 1:13. This is the why he made the decision to fire Berube. This is the second clip, Derek.
Craig and I. Like all managers, we talk every day, and I was in Europe for 2 weeks, and we would talk, and what's the message going to be today? And I always loved the message. And then I would set my alarm for 3 a.m., and I'd get up and watch the game. And what the message was wasn't transpiring on the ice. And I look at games over the last little while where we outscored the opposition, but we didn't win the game. If that makes any sense. Like, we outscored who we played, but you didn't walk away saying, we outplayed that team. We won that game. And there was more nights than not where I felt we didn't win the game. You're going to be the better team in this league and lose. That happens. Goalies get up, stand on their head. Pucks hit a shaft. Pucks hit a post. Things just go your way. But we didn't win enough small battles during a game to win enough games, not by the score, but by the eye test of you were a better team.
You know how I feel about that.
Tell me.
Well, I mean,
Leafs implications.
Leafs,
here this
we
year.
Cover the Leafs obviously here in our first hour, and you look at the standings, and it's really really impressive.
Their record's so much better than their wins.
He can't. There are maybe two handfuls of National Hockey League teams that probably feel the same way he does.
I love that. I love that process, not like results. Two. Like, I don't care if we won 4-2. They handed it to us all night. Like, that's a good observation. Let's just finish off.
I'm sure Sheldon Keefe didn't love that clip.
don't tell them that can happen.
And this is the third clip, which I labeled. I can't remember exactly what it said, but he hasn't slept much. So let's play clip three.
I haven't really slept much since the Columbus game. Then the Chicago game was a sleepless night.
They lost both.
And then you hope that the Detroit game will be different. But your mind is starting to work when you're everybody's homecoming game. You know, it's not a good feeling. And the last three games, I shared it, I think, with the leadership group that When you get up and you read the clippings the next day and the players from the opposition, the coaches are, what a character win. What a gutsy win. I can't believe we did that last night. We're undermanned. We played the night before against a rested team. So if they feel that way about their performance, how would we feel about our performance? I personally didn't feel well about our performance.
See, he is regarded as one of the better general managers, and I know when Kyle Dubas left, lot of people in Toronto were like, we go get Doug Armstrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the top of the list for, I think, a lot of Leaf fans.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is.
Leaf fan.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, just the, you know, no one should feel safe and how miserable he is kind of with the players. There's something else out of St. Louis. One more thing I'll add on is today Jordan Kyrou was asked about his relationship with Berube. And he says, I've got no comment. He's not my coach anymore. Yeah. Which, to me, it's like just he's already been fired. Just be like, yeah, it's fine. Relationship is fine. Right?
Just read between the lines. Like you answered it.
Yeah, well, that's if
you answered it by not answering it.
I got people. I tweeted this, and people are like, at least he was honest. No, he wasn't.
He was the opposite of honest to be dishonest.
Yeah, like, he was actually a childish way of being like, it's fine. Like,
And all it does is fuel the fire now to get more of a story on it.
That's all he's done here is make this a story.
How easy is it for him to be like, he's a good coach. He's moved on, and now we're excited for Drew Bannister.
Yeah, we're really excited for Kraken. Drew Bannister is fine. Or if he has a problem that he'd like to air, say it wasn't good, and here's why, and address it, and now it's a story, and you're not talking about it, and it's like, can you just grow up and tell us?
Not pretty.
Or don't.
They're a few years removed from that Stanley Cup year, and you know, I like Shen a lot, Braden Shen there, for sure. But outside of that, with O'Reilly long gone, and the one that stung was Petrangelo.
Yeah, yeah.
That one stung.
Pretty significant loss there. You know, Barbashev, they had all these guys. They had a lot of just like kind
of love that cup
gutsy
team.
Guys.
Yeah. I loved that cup team.
That was
one of my favorite teams, especially because they beat the Bruins.
Alex Steen there doing things.
Well, they beat the Bruins too, so that was helpful for me. But that was an excellent, excellent team.
All right, we should turn the page on St. Louis because there's lots of teams to get to.
Okay, we touched on Minnesota, didn't we?
Luongo? You want to do this Luongo thing?
Anything else to add on the Minnesota thing? Because I don't think we actually got to the idea that Chris O'Hearn.
I just wonder if we're going to hear more of this. Something happened.
Something happened. There was two investigations into the executives or the front office of the Wild.
This is from a report. Russo.
Russo. Yeah. Mike Russo in The Athletic reported that. And then they kind of parted ways. There's more to come on the Wild is all I'm saying. What were you just suggesting?
Well,
Luongo.
And, I mean, this was I guess it's an old story now, but it got brought up today because he did a press conference, he did media in Vancouver because of the going into the Ring of Honor tonight. And he was asked about the comment. Yes. Remember the my contract sucks?
My contract sucks in a presser.
So we have the clip of him getting asked about that and his explaining. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's have it, Derek.
It was an incredible line in the moment. But with the benefit of hindsight now, did your contract suck?
Well, you know, I don't even know how to respond to that, but I'll just give you a little bit of the background over that. I literally, 15 minutes before I came out, found out that I wasn't getting traded to Toronto. So so it was a little bit emotional at that very time. Didn't really have time to regroup. And, obviously, the contract didn't suck, but for certain reasons it did.
I got paid.
I didn't give any of it back, if that's what you're asking.
It's still in the account.
So he really wanted to be a Leaf, and that was a Brian Burke.
No, I think it was Nonis.
It was Nonis?
I think it was after Berkey, and it was Nonis when he took over.
Okay.
So he just out he hadn't got traded to Toronto Maple Leafs.
I remember this.
This was Ohtani-esque. I remember the time that it was happening that Luongo's going to the Leafs.
There's jerseys, like Luongo Leafs jerseys. I remember people buying
them. Were there done deal? I think there were done deal reports, too. Weren't there out there?
I remember at the time thinking, like, holy crap, it actually happened.
And
like
the trade was, I remember, I think it was Kadri involved. I think there was maybe a first round pick and maybe Gardner. Like that was what I remember in my mind is what the trade was.
God, that'd have been a blockbuster.
A disaster for the Leafs.
It would have been, you think?
For sure. I don't think, think about when Luongo got traded to the Panthers again. he wasn't very good after that. Like, he had some moments, but he wasn't, like, he was at the tail end of his career.
Yeah.
And then he's measured against what? Like, he would be hated here.
Do you remember what the goalie situation was?
Yeah.
With the Leafs, what did they have?
Bernier. Would have been Bernier.
Okay.
And it would have been, maybe it was Bernier when they went after, but it was Reimer. It was all around that 2013 thing.
Buddy, he could have written a totally different story. It was 4-1, never happens with him. Maybe they're not 4-1.
It was after that.
It was after
I think
4-1.
All my timelines, like all my heartbreaks are in my head.
Just
I can't
a pile
remember.
Of heartbreak. Don't make me tease through. Yeah,
but I think maybe part of the reason they got Bernier was because they didn't get Luongo. Anyways, I don't think it would have gone well.
And Bobby
I think
Lou is a Leaf. Could
I think
have been a totally
Bobby,
different history.
I think Bobby Lou is a Leaf. It could have gone bad for him, and he could have had a huge market that didn't love him.
Yeah.
I really do think that.
Or he could have ended up being the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs by now.
Whoa. I mean, sure.
Yeah.
I guess.
Meanwhile, he stayed in Florida and got involved with the Panthers. Maybe
doing pretty well.
So Derek just buzzed in my ear that it was the trade was 2 firsts, 2013 first, 2014 first. Yeah. Okay.
That's what it was. Sorry, that was.
And they couldn't
My ADD brain. He started talking in my ear, and I was dead.
So they had it all figured out, except how the money was going
to
work.
Derek's talking to me. What'd you just say?
Right. Where so if his contract sucks, that's the reason why they couldn't fit it in.
Yeah.
So it was.
That was the frustration.
It was.
Don't you fit it in first before you start throwing prospects around?
Sure
and
do.
Draft picks.
Yes.
The 2014 first that they would have traded ended up being William Nylander.
Ooh. Buddy, the Canucks could have had old Wild Bill.
JB, right. Very busy man on the network tonight. You're with me with the Columbus Leaf game regionally here.
Yeah.
Last night, nationally,
yeah.
Pittsburgh and Montreal. What did you see?
Trash. Trash. I have been on this show all year being like, the Penguins are coming. They're too good not to. They have too much talent. I got to tell you, maybe it was just last night. I've watched them, I don't know, half a dozen times this year and been like, they didn't have it tonight.
Maybe
no
they just
top. Have it. Like, Sid is dragging that team. Crosby's still so good.
How about that pizza slice of
from
Carlson.
Oh
on the Savard first goal?
And that was his second bad turnover of the period. The other one might have been worse. Malkin tried to, like, put it through a guy's feet at center ice as the last man back. He was, you know, brutal. Malkin doesn't have the paw. His legs aren't there anymore.
And that shootout, after the first four shots were all beautiful goals.
Yeah.
Like bar downs, and Sid scored a nice one. Letang scored a beautiful one. Caulfield.
Yeah.
And then it was just a beer league shootout for 10 rounds.
It was like who could shoot it at the other goalie's pad hardest.
This is a hobby horse of mine, but like just go in fast and go high backhand. Like why are you... Weaving.
You guys got the weaving.
Oh like God. Slowing it to weaving.
Are you trying to get us canceled?
No, let's weave it around. Let's go as slow as possible.
This might be the thing you're wrongest on.
And just shoot right in the pad. Speed. High backhand.
Can you
low blocker?
Works in beer league every time.
No. It's
can you videotape yourself
no.
on for from your men's league,
no,
and then we can show it to the national
and we'll
audience.
We'll send it to Vinny Hinestroza and tell him what you think
yes.
he should do.
Okay, well, yeah.
Why can't you be more like Sammy from Beer League?
Just stop beating it into the pads. Make a move.
Yeah. I do think that everyone has kind of perfected the idea of bring it out wide. You stick to the middle by the time you're at the goalie. You have 38 options from there.
So when you're going watching this and you're looking at your watch going,
am I still
can
here?
You just get home, please?
And then we get a reverse roundhouse to the neck of the goalie.
Was there any part of that stretch of watching all these shooters going, okay, we got to fix this. This can't happen again.
Well, I think they tried to fix it with the spinning back heel to the goaltender. But no, I still was like, I don't know.
Did anybody leave during the shootout, you think? Everybody stuck around?
Yeah, cousin Tino went home. No, we all hung in there.
All right, boys.
All right. Just like that, our show's over. And once again, we've solved nothing. Aaron Portsline from The Athletic.
Will you guys be okay without me tomorrow?
Where are you going
tomorrow? No McKee tomorrow.
I'm going to London to watch the attack of the London Knights.
His favorite team, the London Knights. Big Knights guy.
Did we give you permission to do that?
No, the boss did, so.
All right, Jason Bukala, always terrific on our show. Have a great night, everybody. If you get a chance to give us a rating and review, do it. We'd love to hear from you. We're back again tomorrow on Real Kipper and Bourne.